Good morning.
Good morning.
It took me a little while to realize what all the green was about. Stephanie and the girls have gone to see her sister in Kokomo, Indiana. And my mother-in-law's gone with them to see her sister and niece. And so I'm without children this morning who would usually remind me of these things. But some of our young boys caught me earlier and were threatening me, making threats. And so I thought I had the problem solved when I showed them the green that I was wearing. And they argued with me and assured me that that's not technically wearing. And so it took me just a little while, and I've solved that issue, I believe, for any who might catch me afterwards. I'm going to demonstrate some things through today's sermon, and so I've got three of our men ready to help me with that this morning. Preachers tell a lot of stories, and I tell, you hear from week to week the stories I tell. Some of my stories are even true. And today's story is one of those. Elephants who are trained for the carnival, elephants who are trained to be used in the circus, are trained as baby elephants. And the way they do that is they place a ring around one of their ankles and a chain, and they stake that in the ground. And that small baby elephant is not strong enough to remove that stake or break that chain. And that ring around the ankle, if the elephant tries, will cut into its skin. And then, of course, with that injury, it's even more sensitive. And very quickly, a baby elephant will never try to break that. And into adulthood, that's how elephants are trained and contained and those kind of things. And so this morning, we're going to talk about breaking the chains of bondage. We wear chains of bondage, and you may not even know it, but we'll talk about three this morning. And so I'd like to start in Genesis 27, if you want to turn to Genesis chapter 27. Last week, I talked about Esau and how Jacob tricked Esau out of his birthright and then out of his blessing. And later, Esau came, and Jacob was fearful for his life, and we talked about the changing of clothes and why they changed clothes. But this morning I want you to think about Esau. He comes in from the field starving, and he just wants some food that his brother has, Jacob. And Jacob says, no, I won't give you any unless you trade me, sell me your birthright. And so Jacob, in essence, robs him of that. And then later Jacob tricks his father, Isaac, their father, into giving the blessing that should have gone to Esau. And if you're Esau, how angry would you be? Esau was angry to the point that he planned to kill Jacob. He was angry, but underneath his anger, he was hurt. And I think a lot of us can relate to that, relate to the chain of being hurt. And so, Brian, if you'll come up. And so we put a chain on ourselves. God doesn't place it on us. We put it on us. And we bear that chain and we carry it in our life. And it's the chain of hurt. It's hard to get past that. It's hard to... People don't see us wearing it. They may not know that we're wearing it. But we are. I'll talk about three chains today. This one I know something about a little. I know about all three. I understand all three firsthand. This one I understand a little more. Some of you may not know that that I'm divorced, that Stephanie is my second wife. And I don't mention that a lot in my sermons, although it is what we would call a scriptural divorce, so to speak. I don't mention it because to talk about that hurt, I have to talk bad about people. But I understand hurt. I understand what it's like to feel like things have been taken from you. To feel like your marriage has been taken from you. Your family has been taken from you. Your livelihood has been taken from you. and to become fixated on that and how that leads to bitterness. And I'm guessing some of you can relate. You've been hurt. People have taken things from you. They've treated you wrongly. You can relate to having a death grip on a grudge that you just can't turn loose of. And you live in that resentment. And you eat helping after helping of poor me. And you find yourself in bondage with that. And you just can't move past the hurt. That's a chain. We'll turn to John chapter 8. We'll talk about our second chain that we wear. John chapter 8, we read about a woman who was caught in adultery. She probably committed adultery the night before and stayed at that man's place. And the Pharisees and teachers of the law probably surprised her. Grabbed her, they didn't grab him, just her, brought her to Jesus, who was teaching in the temple courts, a setting much like this, interrupted Jesus' teaching, and Scripture says, made her stand. Made her stand before the group. Now you imagine being this woman, surrounded by people who condemn her, are condemning her. You're caught red-handed, so to speak. You're guilty. You think, we've all felt shame, but can you imagine feeling that kind of shame and embarrassment? And we know that feeling. That's a chain that we put on ourselves. It's not the chain of guilt, it's the chain of shame. Okay, Rick? And it's something that we place on ourselves, not guilt that leads to forgiveness, but guilt that after forgiveness we continue to wear, and it's the chain of shame. Because we are embarrassed of our sin. We know what we've done. We know that God's forgiven me, but I don't think I can forgive me. We don't feel worthy. Anyone struggle with understanding God's love here, but you don't feel worthy here to receive God's love or to receive God's forgiveness? And so because of what we've done, we just can't forgive ourselves. This chain is an outward focus. This chain is if people really knew me. If they really knew me. If you really knew me, I don't think you would want to hang out with me. This is a heavy chain. This is a chain where at the end of the day, when you think about this chain, it's just depressing. And it's hard to get past it. In Luke chapter 22, turn to Luke chapter 22, we read about Peter. Imagine being Peter, where Jesus starts to prepare his disciples for his death, and Jesus says, I'm going to be killed. And Peter, you're Peter, and you say, no, you won't die, Jesus. I'll fight for you. I'll die for you. Jesus says, you will all desert me. Peter says, I won't. The others might, but I won't. I'll die for you. Jesus says, oh, Peter, before the rooster crows, before tomorrow morning, you'll deny me not once, twice, but three times. And that night, sure enough, the trial begins in the middle of the night, at kind of a kangaroo court, and they try Jesus, and Peter watches, and Peter gets asked, weren't you one of his? And once he denies him, twice he denies him, finally the third time Peter denies Jesus. And Scripture says that Jesus looked straight at Peter. I wonder how many times Peter remembered that look. You ever had someone look at you when you were guilty? They look straight at you. And Peter remembered. And then Peter wept. Tom, this chain is the chain of regret. This is the chain that I know what I've done. I can't believe what I've done. I can't get past what I've done. I can't go back and undo what I've done. It's the chain of regret. Chains of regret. This is an inward focus. Shame is more of a focus about how other people see me. This chain is about how I see me. It's the one that we continually remind ourselves of our mistakes, our failures. You may have even said to yourself, this may be one of your favorite self phrases, I'm such a failure. This is, you may have had, anyone had a loved one that you've lost, and looking back, you think regarding this loved one, I should have done this. I should have said that. I just wish I had not done this. It's a chain of regret. It is a what could have been. This is the shouldas, wouldas, and couldas of your past. This chain says, I'm not good enough. And after all that regret, after all those failures, you get to a point where you wonder, is there anything still usable here? Am I usable? Am I worth anything? And you just can't get around the way that it haunts you. Because regret haunts, doesn't it? Shame depresses. And hurt, if you've been hurt, it hardens. It makes you bitter. It makes your heart hard. And people spend their whole lives wearing these chains. We spend our whole lives wearing these chains that we don't have to wear. And they get heavy. Are they getting heavy? I messed with these chains this week preparing for this. And they are heavy. But no chain is heavy as the emotional chains that we wear. But the elephant story. The baby elephant has the ring around its ankle. It hurts. That elephant can't break free. And as that elephant grows, the trainers just change the size of the ring. They change the size of the chains around that elephant's ankle. The elephant becomes full grown. Over 10 feet tall, enormous, with tremendous strength. The elephant can break free at any time. And like that elephant, we have believed Satan's lies that say you have to wear this chain. Look at what you've done. You can't lay that chain down. Look at what you've done. God can't use you. Wear your chain. And we believe God's lie. But it's time for that to stop. And so Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 1:18, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And I would say on our own, we don't have the power. But it's the cross that gives us the power to lay these chains down. It's the cross that says you're forgiven, you can lay this down. It's the cross that says you need to forgive, you can lay this down. And so we'll talk one by one about how to do this. Remember in Genesis, the end of the story isn't Esau being furious with anger, wanting to kill his brother. The end of the story is, sometime later, Esau goes to his brother, and instead of killing him, he runs to him and hugs him. And he kisses him. And he weeps with him. Now why does he do that? What happened between the hurt and now? How did he get past the hurt? Brian, if you'll come on down here. The answer is, he gets past the hurt because he has found a way to forgive. If you've forgiven someone, go ahead and lay a chain down. You understand how forgiveness can turn to being healed. When you're hurt causes you to be bitter. It causes you to be resentful. And you can't get rid of that chain of hurt. But forgiveness, if you've ever forgiven someone, you understand, I'm not hurt anymore. Now I'm healed. And God allows us, God helps us to do that. Why is it that Esau could come and hug Jacob? And the answer is, between his anger and the reconciliation, Esau forgave. He forgave his brother. In John 8, remember Jesus and the woman. When the woman is standing before Jesus, Jesus asks her, where are they? Has anyone left to condemn you? And she says, no one. And Jesus says, neither do I condemn you. Go now and leave your life of sin. Jesus never condones our sin. But Jesus doesn't want us wearing the chain of shame. And we wear that. We get up every morning, some of us, don't we? We get up every morning, we say, I know God's forgiven me. And we put on that chain of shame because we haven't forgiven ourselves. But this woman received Jesus' forgiveness when everyone else condemned. And she had a choice. And I would expect, I would hope she left her life of sin. And I would hope she also left her shame at the foot of Jesus. Rick, if you'll come down. This chain says you're not worthy of God's love. And the truth is, in a way, we are not worthy of God's love, and yet we are worthy of God's love. We are not worthy of Christ dying for us, but we are valuable enough that Christ died for us. And so God empowers us to lay our shame down because, if you go ahead and lay it down, because our shame can turn to the fact that I'm loved. When we understand that God has never not loved me. I know that's not good grammar, but it is true. God has never not loved me. And we understand that I don't have to be ashamed. I've been forgiven. We don't have to let Satan keep lying to us and telling us that God's love can't reach you because of what you've done. That God has sometime at some point quit loving you, because that's not true. And so we're able to lay this chain down and realize that I am loved by God. I don't have to wear the chain of shame. And then with Peter, after Peter denied Christ three times, Christ came back to him. Christ reinstated him, so to speak. And Christ told Peter, asked Peter, follow me. Now what did Peter, if you relate to Peter, you relate to someone who has a regret. Can you imagine having the regret of denying Christ in his darkest hour? Can you imagine living the rest of your life and everyone knows you're that guy? But Jesus said, follow me, Peter. And on the first gospel sermon moment, the day of Pentecost, when the very first sermon is preached about salvation through Christ and the establishment of the church, guess who preaches it? Peter does. This is a chain in which we think God can't use me. But the reality is, because of your failures, and not in spite of them, because of your failures, God can use you in ways He can't use me. Tom, if you'll come down. We regret things in our past. We look back and say, I can't believe I did that. And we think I'm not usable. We think, you may think, I'm a failure. But we don't realize that some of those mistakes, it's because of them, and not in spite of them, it's because of those very mistakes that you can do something in the kingdom that I can't do. And God will look at someone who's struggling, and He'll look at you, the Christian, who has been past that. And He'll say, you're the one who needs to go talk. God will find someone struggling with an addiction maybe, struggling with gambling, struggling with drinking, struggling with a drug addiction, someone struggling with a pornography addiction. God will find someone struggling with failure through bankruptcy, failure in marriage. God will find someone in a place in life where they don't know if they can make it through. And God knows, I need a saint to send to them who's been there. Lay it down, Tom. And God has to find a Christian who has the regret, but the regret has turned to testimony. Because you now have a story. You don't wear the chain of regret around, you wear the chain of testimony, like the Samaritan woman that God sent. She had a story to tell. And she could move past her chains of regret. Now she has a testimony. We wear chains that Satan says you have to wear, but God says because of Christ's death on the cross, you can lay them down. Through forgiveness, God shows us how to forgive others and lay our hurt down. God shows us how to forgive ourselves and lay our shame down. God shows us that because I've been forgiven, my failures are not etched in stone, but my failures are now a testimony. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. And so the good news is we don't have to wear the chains that we wear. God can use me. And now these chains turn to these things. And so I expect that you can relate to at least one of these. And if not, probably another chain that you can relate to. And so I encourage you this morning, we are going to sing a song in a moment. And I have, what do you do with something you take off and you have no use for? You throw it away. And I have a trash can. And I encourage you, if you want to, you can do this from the pew, but if you want to, write your chain on a card. We're not going to read the card. This is between you and God. Write your chain on a card. And if you want to come this morning and place your chain in the trash, we're not going to read those, but we will have a prayer for those. If you want to leave your chain here this morning, write it on a card. Come, lay it in the trash, return to your seat, and in a moment we'll pray and have a prayer for the chains that we wear every day that Satan has lied to us and said, you have to put this back on. And we need to leave it here, don't we? We need to leave it here today. And so you can do that if you wish. If you're here this morning and you may have something heavy on your heart that you want us to pray specifically for you about, and if that's the case, come and tell me and have a seat on the front. It may be that you want to give your life to Christ and have your sins washed away this morning. And of course, we would love to help you with that. But if you want to lay your chain down, what we've talked about this morning, write it on a card, come up, place it in the trash, and we'll have a prayer for all of those this morning that we can leave those at the foot of the cross. Okay? I'm convinced if one of you will come, 10 of you will come. I know we wear chains. All right? We're going to sing a song, perfect song, Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary. Come lay yours down. Do it while we stand and sing.
Faith are filled with sorrow.